Hey, to whoever may need this nugget of encouragement, things will be alright, so quit your worry. I get it, the odds can stack back against the wall, but even consider it such, know you'll stand tall. Sat and watch from the sidelines one too many times. Wicked games to play make me want to lose my mind. Found solitude knowing it'll be over soon.
Hi everyone, welcome to Contrary to the Culture. I am your host, Jaysa King. This podcast has been created solely to explore the depths of cultures around the nation. We will have interviews from experts, challenge the mainstream ideas surrounding the cultural identities in our society, as well as make sure we touch on misconceptions we have about. All episodes are brought to you on Tuesdays at 3 p.m. on all major podcast platforms, not to mention my website, audacityofwomen.com. There, under the podcast tab, you can find transcripts from every episode. In order to know how we're doing, I need you to show us some love. Hit that subscribe button, like this video, comment your experiences, but most importantly, turn on your notifications so you don't miss any of the episodes. Now that that's done, let's jump into our episode. As someone only recording episode 2, y'all, I have no idea how I'm supposed to start this. So work with me if it continues to change throughout my episode creation. Anyway, this episode is entitled Colorism in California. Little background. I'm from California, Southern California, Inland Empire. That's where I'm at, okay? All up in the mountains type deal. But, well, they're valleys. They're not really mountains. Anyway, neither here nor there. So the demographics in that area is mainly Hispanic. It is heavily Hispanic. I grew up in an area where I knew about people of color, but I didn't recognize people of color. Okay, that's not saying like I didn't know that there were different variations of people. I just mean literally, I didn't realize who I was. Let's just keep it real. So I'm in Southern California, you know, living my life, doing these things. And I remember, I think I was in like, maybe like fourth or fifth grade. It was a young age, y'all. And there was this guy that everyone absolutely loved. But he had this like thing for light-skinned women. We was in fourth grade, y'all. He had a thing for light-skinned girls. And I am chocolate, okay? And back then, living in California with that sun, baby, I was dark chocolate. And I remember he would have, like, this schedule where he would rotate who he was going to be talking to at the time. And my young self, not realizing how crazy that was as my self-esteem being developed, also realizing that he just had a preference because he would be interested in my friend at the time who was lighter. And it was kind of weird because you don't understand, especially as a kid, how things kind of resonate with you and kind of determine, for lack of a better word, how you see yourself later, right? Obviously, I'm not blaming this person. We were kids. But it is interesting how I remember that scenario, that situation so vividly. So again, that's just the basis, right? That's where I started. California, on the playground, just in love with this kid who I thought was the bee's knees, when in reality, he taught me a valuable lesson. Fast forward a little bit, we moved to California. We moved to Georgia. Sorry, y'all. Again, episode 2, you're going to have to work with me. We moved to Georgia where we're now in a completely different demographic, right? Anyone that lives in Georgia or has been to Georgia, you know, Atlanta, it's filled with people of color. And this is where I was kind of getting my feet wet. I went to a school in Conyers, Georgia. I'm not going to give you all my details because it ain't none of your business. But I went to a school in Conyers, Georgia, where I was surrounded by people that look like me. And that's when I started to recognize who I was, what I look like, and things that came with being me. And it started with my hair. So back in the day, I was a straight hair queen to the point where my hair was so damaged that I didn't even think it was possible for me to have curls, let alone know that a Black girl could have curls. And that's just how deep rooted my, y'all gonna have to work with me in these words. That's how deep the lack of understanding of who I was within me. Okay. Again, work with me. And I got to a point where I was being a cheerleader. I was a cheerleader from sophomore year to the beginning of my senior year. And that's a whole nother story. And I remember I found this lady that was doing my hair at the time. And I think I was going to her just to get like sew-ins and try and keep up with the trends at the time. And one day she was just like, you know, I think I want to see what your natural hair is looking like. Like, what? Let's see what we can do with it. And I was like, natural hair? What do you mean? I didn't know what that was. Because just to go back a little bit, my mom was exploring natural hair too. She didn't grow up that way. So it was very interesting for me to kind of be the first to pioneer it within me and my mom's little dynamic. Obviously, people around us had natural hair experiences, but we were new to Georgia. This was a new experience. We didn't really have people out in California that can help us with that. But going to this lady, she exposed it. And y'all, the day I washed my hair and my shit was curly, it was absolutely wild because I didn't know, one, that I was able to be that. Have that image. And in my mind, in my little heart, I added value because now I saw a different version of myself that I didn't know I had. And to a certain extent, it brought out a lot more confidence because I was going from straining myself to present myself in an image that was just not in my packaging, right? So my hair is very thick. It is very coarse. It is very kinky. It is not the easiest to get straight. So the amount of chemicals, the amount of heat, the amount of stretching, the amount of just products I had to put in my hair in order to present this image, it was hell. It was not something that was confidence building. So I got to a point where now I'm like, oh, okay, so that's another version of me. That is the me that was easier to get to. That's the me that I can say, this is my original self. And I remember showing my mom and I was just like, look, it's curly, you know, like it bounced, it did all these things, I can get it wet. And before, as a little Black girl, they got her hair straightened, you weren't getting in the pool. You cannot stay in the shower for too long because your hair was going to shrink up. And not in a cute way, like you see in the movies. It was going to look a mess and you had to go get it redone. So now that I'm in this position to where I'm learning about my hair, I remember really putting myself in a box to maintain this image. And I keep going back to that because I think it's important for us to acknowledge that as a Black American, right? Because that's all I can speak to right now, because that's what I am. I always wanted to be the either the light-skinned woman that we always saw on TV that had the different color eyes, that had the soft curls that flowed and that can go straight in an instant, or the one that was able to just have really nice skin. Okay, that was my image of the light skin woman, or the Caucasian woman who had just everything that everyone wanted. Her hair was already straight, her hair was already long, there were already things that she didn't have to do that someone of my complexion had to go through hell in order to accomplish. Y'all, now that I'm older and I understand the things that I went through in order to be something I wasn't, I regret every step because it wasn't allowing me to live in my truth. And I can think back to like pictures of when I was cheering and the stringy look of my hair was just not confident. It wasn't confidence building at all. So I say all that to say, colorism for me started from day one. And I'm not saying in the sense of hate or people being just against someone that was darker than me, but I mean something that I inflicted on myself. And understanding that as an adult, I think is super important for us to teach our kids that One, you don't need to compare. Two, you don't need to go to social media or any type of media platform in general. But also not looking at the people around you. And that is something that I can say was my lesson, is huge on not looking at other people, because I tried my hardest to watch these videos or mimic my friends' hairstyles that, again, did not look like me. And that's not saying you can't get inspiration, but that is saying making sure we build our own confidence before we find a way to mimic someone else's confidence. So as I go on, right, hair was not the only thing that really stuck with me when it came to colorism in California. And I think that it's huge because something that I mentioned was my skin, right? I grew up having to learn about my skin. My mom was always talking about her skin. She was younger and she didn't have the best skincare. And that was something she pushed on me very early on. But again, not understanding the importance of it, that was something that came full force at me even before I moved to Georgia. So again, like I said, I had super dark skin at the time, and not necessarily like it's a bad thing, but it was the uneven dark skin because I lived in the sun. I lived in California. So on top of it not being the healthiest, it was always greasy for some reason. I had very oily skin and it was uneven. Again, adding to my lack of confidence and not being able to promote some type of self-confidence because I wasn't looking to the right people, that fueled my ill-placed value, right? I wasn't placing my value in the right places, I think is what I'm trying to say. So here I am again in Georgia, and I'm seeing people that are of various forms. We all are the same type of people, but we're in different ways. We have different shades. We have different things that make us just sparkle and shine. And I had to learn the importance of being myself and finding my footing and understanding that, one, I'm still a teenager. My skin's gonna look crazy. Another reason I have to get out of worrying about what other people thought. I had my first sew-in, my first real sew-in, right, when I was in high school. And I remember it was because I had to cut my hair to get all the relaxer out. And my cousin came over and she was like, we should do a sew-in. And I looked at her like she was crazy because I'm like, no, people are going to talk about me. Who does, you know, fake hair? That was before it was huge. And I didn't realize that I was in a different environment. Because back in California, you have in weave. Oh, no, they were not going to let that slide. It was going to seem as though, again, you're throwing fake hair in your head. So I got this cute little bob. She did that. And I remember instantly feeling confident because I was putting myself back in a box of being this image that I didn't think it was obtainable. So now I think about it, I got to a point where I was able to be confident with my natural hair, where I understood that I had beauty within my natural state, to going right back to trying to be this straight hair beauty that, again, wasn't me. So what does that look like in my nowadays? What does that look like for me trying to go out when I cut my hair or when I just want to wear it curly? Nowhere. It leaves me in the same box. It leaves me feeling less confident. And instead of it being my natural hair straightened out, dead and limp, it's my beautiful curls being put under a wig, being put under glue and caps and thread because I'm trying to maintain this image that wasn't me to begin with. And I see like a lot of posts, right? You have all these Instagram models, you have all these people that we idolize, and we think that that's what we need to be. That's how we need to move in the world in order to be acknowledged, to be seen as valuable, beautiful, impressionable. But we have no idea how to be ourselves. We have no idea how to even market natural beauty. I remember that phase where everyone was trying to tell you about how to maintain your natural hair, and we had no idea what we were doing. There were standards on what was quality natural hair. Who in the hell can tell you the quality of natural hair? It had to be a certain length. It had to be a certain curl pattern. It had to be a certain color. If you didn't have this color, it wasn't popping. You're just basic. if you had too much kink and not enough curl or not enough wave, you're again not a part of the natural community, or you need to be a part of this Facebook group in order to fit in. Y'all, the commentary I have constantly seen around this topic was just crazy to me. And then we transition into, again, skin tone. Well, I can say that I've noticed that depending on where you are will determine what value is placed on what skin type. I talked about this in my other channel, and I remember when I was in college, there was this guy that I was on a modeling team with, and we were both up for like the image, I guess, of the modeling company, and it was king and queen basically. And he was like, if you win, I guess I'll have to just suffice for you because I don't date people darker than me. And I looked at him like, well, I don't want you to win. Because at that point, I was at an HBCU. I already felt good about myself. It wasn't like I had to sit here and fondle over him. That wasn't the case. But it was one of those moments where I had to really question my own value and look at him as though, one, you felt confident enough to say that to someone else and think that you were so much of the bee's knees that I would just stop and feel some type of way that you even gave me the time of day. When in reality, the position was black and gold. Baby, I was already black and gold. So there was no need for me to sit there and look at that person as though that should have hurt me or made me feel as though I was inadequate. But of course, going through your phases, learning your lessons, you realize maybe you're not the right shade. Maybe you're not what everyone wants and that you need to adjust and find a way to be this status quo and find ways to make yourself pop more and do all these crazy things. Fast forward, it don't matter. He didn't matter. That experience was just a hitch for me to understand my true value. I guess I add that on to just, again, point out understanding your own value before you step out in this world. Because like I mentioned in my first video, we have so many worldviews and we have so many expectations of our own culture that we don't hold accountability to the things that we do wrong, that hinder one another, that make us feel as though we are constantly in competition. And the few experiences I've had just transitioning from one side of the nation to another, from one state to another, one type of people to another, it completely changed my worldview. And again, that was just middle school to college. Now that I am an adult, I have a completely different life. I have experiences that I didn't expect to have. I've made choices I didn't expect to make. I understand the way that what you expose yourself to can really change what you need to be quality, to be happy, to be in a position to where you see yourself and don't wonder what you need to do, what you need to buy, who you need to talk to add your value back. I think that's it. So again, colorism in California was really an experience of mine. It was something that I think I had to talk about because it's not something that women like to address. We like to compete. We like to point out flaws in other people to make us feel more confident, but we don't acknowledge the moments where we really go through colorism and things that make us feel less valuable. We just want to deflect and find ways to, again, promote ill intentions towards someone else to make us feel better about ourselves. And that's just ass backwards. But that's our episode. Next episode is going to be on crazy. I have moved to Georgia, but I think I'm going to change it. So just make sure you tune in for episode 3 of Contrary to the Culture. You already know what to do. Make sure you stay tuned for our outro to get some updates. And go ahead and check out our website, audacitywomen.com, to find out what I have coming in this new month. All right, y'all. Bye. All right, that was our episode. Thanks so much for listening to Contrary to the Culture. Again, I am your host, Jaysa King. You can find full show notes from today's episode at audacityofwomen.com under the podcast tab. Let's connect on Instagram at justjaysapodcast. There you will find clips from our various segments and more information about yours truly. If you're loving the podcast, I'd be so honored if you go ahead and hit that subscribe button and leave me a review. Until next time. Ever need a boost, count on me for the 1-2. Trouble don't last when the tough get going. Baby, all we do is win, so show me my opponent. Adversity, doubt, stress, could care less, cause how we handle those like an S on our chest. Super proud of how we held it.